As he said, as soon as he got to penis and nuts, he was like, well, this is happening.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, your weekly look at all things CinemaSins, TV sins, and commercial sins. I'm your host, Aaron, but not that Aaron, of course. And this week, I'm joined by CinemaSins staff member, Ian.
Hello.
Ian, how are you doing?
I'm good.
You sound like you're from London.
I don't get that at all. In fact, this is an immediate story before I say hello to anybody. I'm back in America, which is awesome. It's amazing. Back living at Mr. Dicer's. And we went to get some coffee. It's a coffee place that we went to a lot last time I was here. And the person that served us just went onto the radio. Went, I didn't hear what she said, but immediately somebody came around the corner and said, "You're back! I'm so sorry about the Queen." And I was just like, okay, that was a lot. That was an immediate greeting. It's like, I'm happy to be back. I'm glad you remember me, and it's okay. It's fine. We weren't that close.
Well, that's what
it was so sweet.
I think I was talking with Aaron. People kept on texting you about the Queen. Like, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's like, she's not my aunt. Like,
she's not my grandma. Like, she's everyone's grandma. But it was all day long. Oh, and some of them were tongue in cheek. Just like, I guess I'm sorry. And some of them were genuinely like, I'm sorry I didn't send this sooner, like the next day. And like, no, you're fine, it's okay, I didn't need an immediate apology. We've lost touch over the years. I'm sorry she's gone, but yeah, it's okay. I don't need your condolences.
Don't apologize for the Queen dying. Apologize for 1776. Like,
yeah, exactly. If you're going to apologize for some stuff, then exactly. Just give me some country back. Amazing. But yeah, it's nice to be back.
That sounds like a perfect segue. It feels like we're actually here for a purpose. We're here to do this inside scoop, so we should probably do that.
What's he building in there?
We'll kick off with the Monday video, Rick and Morty 3x7. So we have the Rick Lantis mix-up. This is a Jonathan and Daniel script. Some of the things that we liked just right off the back. The whole Atlantis thing is just mind-boggling. And they're totally right sitting that, because I didn't think it was something I needed until they said they just got back from a trip to Atlantis. And now it's like, okay, but now I want you to go to Atlantis. And I'm mad that here we are 3 seasons later and there's still no Atlantis episode.
And maybe it never happened. Maybe there is something we're missing out on. Maybe there's a joke that we missed. Or maybe the last episode ever, maybe that will end with, okay, off to Atlantis. And just completely troll us and we never see it.
Also, more lasers? Agreed. And then a sin removal.
Reverse.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love that.
And then this show does the wildest, most nonsensical bullshit and somehow swings it back to make you feel something cliche. Only Rick and Morty.
Just Rick and Morty in one sentence. Like, I obviously didn't write on this one, but I love Jonathan and Daniel's scripts because their scripts are like super thoughtful and intellectual. And I love reading that stuff. It always makes me think. And like the stuff that it would go by so quick and just miss it. So one of the sins was bandaging your wound on the outside of your clothes.
Yeah.
And it's just a shot of Rick putting a bandage over his shoulder, fully uniformed. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's a dumb thing to do. Like, that's not going to help anybody. But I love having that. I love having that eye. I love the delivery on Cool Rick, which is like obviously a Family Guy reference, which just, man, Aaron's delivery on that was so funny.
I'm just impressed that he can actually like verbalize. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, he can actually say it.
Yeah. Put that silent H before the R. But I love that sin has like a couple of different levels to it. The other sin I had down was brain secretion wafer cookies are my least favorite secretion wafer cookies. Because I was expecting that to go like just wafer cookies. But it's like, no. There's some secretion wafer cookies that the narrator does like. It's just the brain ones where he draws the line. It's so great.
Well, and then whole run about how is wafer cookies enough of a popular thing that there's a whole factory making tons of these. And like isn't the point of wafer cookies to get like a ton for like 60 cents?
Yeah, exactly. Which is why you need a whole factory to make enough to make a profit.
Yeah, I mean, that part makes sense. But I don't think there's any demand for them. I mean, other than I think like Sunday school. You know,
I think in England I would have battled against that sin and be like, nope, this isn't going in the script. We need a factory of wafer cookies, like those the wafer thingy. We have the pink ones in England. They're amazing. They're so good.
Yeah, I like them. I every now and then buy them, but again, I can get like a brick for like 29 cents. Like, isn't that the best thing about America? Just giant portion sizes for. We'll get there.
It's my favorite.
Well, that's just a little preview for Behind the Center this week. We'll get there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I did reach out to Jonathan because I wanted to know, because this is one of the things that just didn't compute in my brain. There's a sin that just says, so the sin, as always, is Joel Walsh. Like, that's kind of how it ends. Mm. There's no music playing because to avoid copyright issues and whatnot. But
of course,
yeah. Apparently there's a song playing there. Is Joel Walsh like an inside joke, or is it like somebody that did something in the 80s that I'm too young to understand or whatever?
You young fool.
Turns out he did do something in the 80s that I'm too young to understand. He was in a band called the Eagles.
He did the Eagles. He did indeed. Yeah.
Anyway, Jonathan just saying they're playing a song called In the City by Joel Walsh, which is just being silly, and I'm not much of an Eagles fan. So you heard it here first. Jonathan is not an Eagles fan.
Jonathan hates Joe Walsh specifically. Let's put that out there and make sure everyone knows.
So if you thought, hey, I think Jonathan and I could be friends, but man, I wonder what his taste in music is like, because I really like the Eagles. Got some bad news for you.
Sorry, guys, if that was what you were pinning your hopes on. I love the randomness. And sometimes it is just the head scratching. It's like, wait, what am I missing? Like, what did he do? Why are we sinning him? Should I know something?
I just want to know, this is the other question I have about the video. Is the sock in the garage going to be the new bowl of fruit in the living room?
The thing that the people in the comments got behind was that sock and the realism of it. Like, multiple people were like, you shouldn't be sinning that. That's the most realistic thing I've seen on Rick and Morty. Like, every garage has that sock.
I wonder if every dimension has that sock there.
It's something to, let's immediately stop the podcast and just watch every single episode and start noting it down.
I just want to see the sock become the new thing where you have to sin it, not for just being there, but you have to find new ways to sin it. Kind of like,
yes,
the bowl of fruit.
Exactly.
Now you have the bowl of fruit and the sock. Maybe one day they'll meet.
I mean, I'm hoping that the series is like really putting some subtle jokes in there and we'll eventually see a team up or something and they were the villains all along. It wouldn't be beyond Rick and Morty to have like some stuff that they set up in season one that still hasn't paid off. I would love that.
Yeah, that's all I had. Did you have other things?
No, that's everything I had for that one.
This one, I know we'll have some more things to talk about because you wrote on this CinemaSins Tuesday video for Jeepers Creepers. You and Aaron writing on this. All right, so you wrote on this. Was this your first time watching this movie?
Heck yeah, it was.
Okay, I've never seen this before, but I have seen the Sin video, so I feel like I've seen the movie. So
You have. I feel like no one's actually seen this movie. I think everybody says that they have, and everyone has fond memories of it, but no one's actually watched Jeepers Creepers. It's so strange. Like, I was convinced I'd seen it until about 5 minutes in. I was like, no, I definitely have not seen this movie. What I figured out is that I'd actually seen the sequel.
Lot of people saying that in the comments. Like, I saw 2 and 3 and then convinced my dad to let me watch the first one because I saw the sequel.
And I have some fond memories of the second one, which I think is set on a bus. But this is just, I did not have any fun with this. I was like, is this a classic? Everyone like what you like, but it felt almost like a parody, but it didn't quite have the weight or like the, what are you actually trying to say that is parodying the genre? And it isn't, it's just like a straight up odd supernatural slasher flick with not a lot of flashing and a heck of a lot of staring. This has got like one of my favorite bonus rounds. Like,
it's so good.
It hit me about halfway through the movie that I was like, man, he's making some really weird faces. Sometimes with bonus rounds, we're always tempted to do it with names as well. Sometimes, like if somebody's name is said a lot, sometimes it doesn't always work. But the stares combined with the facial expressions of like, oh, what's his name?
Derry.
It's so great. He like just pulls some absolutely bizarre faces, and you can like cut together a 60-minute movie of just them staring at each other. It's insane.
Well, and what's crazy is there was so much footage of staring, but really the only stuff you showed in the bonus round was staring at the camera, but there was equally probably as many shots of like staring at something, but you would be kind of over the shoulder.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Like, so one of the sins that I really liked where you were just like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three, like actually counting it out. I thought that was hilarious.
Like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Like, it took six Mississippis for her. She should have done something at three Mississippis.
It's amazing. Yeah. This definitely warrants action on two Mississippi at least.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
But like, there was so much staring and the same facial expression every time. And kind of back to your meta point, there was the thing where the sister like says, like, don't go in there. Like, don't you know what happens when they go in there? And you were just like, this
isn't... Everyone hates it when people make the stupid decisions and don't hang back. It's like, yeah, we know, but you're still going to do it. This isn't as meta as you think you'll be.
Well, and this moment might be meta, but the rest of the movie abandons that concept where Scream kind of sticks to the whole thing throughout. That's why it works.
Yeah, the bug becomes the feature in Scream, but in here it's just a bug that knows it's a bug and doesn't do anything about it.
It's amazing. This is one of those that, like, again, I haven't seen the movie, but this movie would infuriate me because, like, you spend so much time talking about it, it's so important. They have the ability to just drive by and call the cops and leave. Like, there's no reason for them to go back. And then when they do call the cops, like, they go to the diner and they're just like, yeah, sure, like, whatever. Like, of course the cops have to be the biggest idiots on the planet. Like, I would hate this movie.
Me and Aaron both ended it, and usually we try and stay positive, but we're like, man, maybe we needed to have watched this when it came out in 1992. And we're like, no, this came out in like 2002. Like, this isn't as old as you think it is either. It doesn't even have that going for it. It's wild. The pacing is all over the place. The tension at the beginning with the car chase is great. It's great if you never see the creeper. Like, I think this would be a better movie if you never, ever, ever see the creeper. But Aaron made a great point when he sent it by saying, so this is just like a longer episode of Buffy. Yay? It's like, in theory, that should be good. But this feels so much like a Buffy episode that's been stretched into a feature-length movie, but with less characters to invest in.
Sure. I want to ask right off the top, do you know, is there a specific reason this movie was chosen? There's like a reboot coming out.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, which one of you assholes picked the Dr. Seuss dub of Jeepers Creepers?
I love that because it's not just like the Dr. Seuss version. It's as if you can go into the DVD menu and change it to Dr. Seuss.
I wish, man. Now I'm thinking of all the different movies that we could do for that.
That'd be incredible. It'd be so great.
That'd be amazing. And then I just like the way this one was worded. The cats are even getting out of there, even though dying from curiosity is kind of their thing.
Perfect. It's just so brilliant. Great. Just to compare their curiosity.
We already mentioned the bonus round, but I also really love the speed board of the missing persons board.
Everybody was named wrong. Multiple names were used. The ages were all wrong. One of the descriptions was, this person likes to take candy from strangers. And I was like, on a bolo? Like, really? Like, are you telling people to go out there with candy? But me and Aaron both wrote multiple sins on this board. So collectively, I would guess that we spent an hour each sinning this board and putting it together, and it became the beast that we see in the video. But this board, usually when you see these notice boards or newspapers, they're a gift of some sort. But this was like a deliberate gift wrapped in a bow that just had some deliberate nonsense on it. That we could have spent so much more time diving into that board. Is incredible.
I like to imagine you and Aaron like standing in front of Aaron's TV with like a bulletin board and strings tied together, like that it's always sunny in Philadelphia. I mean, stuff.
Yes, that's not far off. There's another one that's worded incredibly, and the lead-in is the psychic on the phone says, "You found its house of pain." And this scene is just makes sense because this movie jumps around. It jumps around. It jump cuts, jump scares, and I frown. And I just, it's amazing. It's great. I was annoyed that I didn't find that reference. Well done, Aaron.
I thought about that, and then kind of like you were talking with the way that Aaron can like diction. That's the word I'm looking for. How he has such good diction, he can kind of do this. But yeah, it's just one of those. It was just brilliant.
It's just perfect. It's so funny.
Because you catch on. I caught on halfway through. Like, oh, this is a jump around. Like,
this is what they're doing. Yeah, it's so much fun. In terms of like behind the scenes, we had real trouble getting this video even up onto YouTube.
Oh,
it's with horror films, so this got flagged as inappropriate for children, which basically means that advertisers won't be interested in it either, which means that something we left in there was really graphic. And it's really tricky in horror movies when you're in the middle of sinning. We try to catch it during the edit process as well, but we just missed it on this one. So we had to go through the video and highlight everything that it could possibly be. So we just had this bumper list of, well, there's a decapitation there. That man has a hole in his body. That guy's face is covered in blood. That woman is being held up with a knife. They say this thing here. And just there's another decapitation over there. And it was just like picking what to cut out without neutering the video entirely. And without it just being a big old blurry mess. So yeah, we had to spend another couple of hours going through it and editing it down. Eventually got cleared and made it up onto the channel. But there was a couple of decapitated heads that were rightfully flagged that we blurred and removed, and then the video was allowed up. Who'd have thought? Decapitated head.
See, this is why I couldn't do the editor's job. I would just blur the entire screen out of laziness.
And it can be quite inconsistent, because sometimes you can get away with blood, sometimes you can't. It's so, so tricky to get that sweet spot. But yeah, we had a window and we managed to spin it round. But yeah, the editors did a great job on cutting out the bits we requested while still having the video make sense.
I have some high praise for the editors later as well.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say. I think, yeah.
Yeah, what else do you have for the show? The only thing I just want to mention was I also love the outtakes for this one. It was one of those where, like, I was like, oh, I really liked that one. Oh, I really liked that one. And then there's the Scooby-Doo one with, like, Creeper. And, like, that one's really good. And then the very next one is where the Creeper opens his mouth and it's the Dumb and Dumber noise. And, like, yes. I started cackling because it was just like, I would have never thought to put that in, but it's just brilliant.
We've had like a run of good outtakes lately. We do know what the other person's outtakes are, but we don't usually look, not too much, until we actually see the whole video come together. And sometimes you'll have some back to back that we didn't even coordinate with each other on, and they just work perfectly. It's such a fun part of the video.
So what else do you have?
I love The Shape of Slaughter. That was just such an Aaron sin. I love it because it fits so perfectly. And the most brutal sin that I wrote for this one was when the psychic is spared. I said, behold, she is spared. Likely because the creeper knows a psychic can do more damage to society over their lifetime than it will ever achieve in the space of 23 days. And I was like, is that going to stay in? Is that too harsh? But there's some truth in there. And like, it's nice to share a point of view sometimes. And the singing is always great. Just when the creeper, when we first find out that it has wings, I went straight into like our Slack channel and I was like, I'm watching Jeepers Creepers and this motherfucker has wings, and everyone that's seen Jeepers Creepers was like, oh yeah, it does. What? Why does it have wings? This makes no sense. But to pair that with just the sudden Jeremy singing, like, with the arms of an angel, fly away, was so good. I don't remember there being a note for that, but his like really wispy, weary delivery of the song was so great against just like the wing popping out in the middle of the road. It's so great. I think that's everything I had for that one. What a complicated video that was.
Well, it's just surprising, like, going into the comments and seeing that video, like, there's lots of praise for that movie. Like, somebody put, this is my favorite movie of all time, and I'm so happy you guys finally did it. And it's like, love what you love.
It's one of my favorite things about going into the comments on the videos, is how many people come to the video saying, this is my favorite movie of all time, I'm so glad you're sinning it. And I'm like, yes, I love it. I think it's so, so great, because it kind of gives us a lot of, like, kind of freedom to make the jokes, knowing that we're not being hurtful, like we're not deliberately trying to upset anybody. It's just all movies do this stuff, and it's fun to point it out.
Well, let's move on to the Wednesday video, The Boys. This is season one, episode two. I asked Aaron if there was a specific reason why we did it, and why you guys did it. And he said, nope, we just wanted to do more of The Boys. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think when we were making that decision, season three was out and like, having all sorts of like conversations and buzz about it. So I think it was just time to dip back in. And I am desperate to do more of these. I love The Boys so much. I want to get all of season one done. But dang you, TV, for having so much TV at the minute. Like, there is so much that we can't sin right now.
So this episode of The Boys, this TV Sins episode covering The Boys is...
Write the episodes as well.
Written by Jonathan and Aaron, working together on this one. And episode's called Cherry, by the way. It's second episode of the series. I already said it earlier, but there's the whole "you sound from London." You sound like you're from London. Just every time, just immediate because forgetting kick-off. Sarah Marshall is maybe my favorite comedy, depending on the day.
It's always funny to do.
Pointing out that when A-Train's out doing his live stream and then the views start going down when it becomes a train wreck, and you're like, no, this isn't how YouTube works. Like,
it's so great. Like, do you not realize that this would be the best thing for ratings ever? They should have rigged it this way deliberately.
I do have some fun behind the scenes stuff here too, but I also have to point out at the very end when they're talking about where the Deep explodes and they're like all the blood got on Huey and it didn't get on the walls at all, and then of course it ends with that clearly wrecked him.
That's the best. It's so great. I was watching this video earlier, sat next to Aaron, and I just burst out laughing, and he was just like, "What are you laughing at, Ian?" And I went, "Completely wrecked him." And I went, "You're welcome." It's so great. It's perfect. It really is. And the insides outsides thing is so true. Like, that bomb shouldn't have even worked. If his skin is impenetrable, it should have just blown up everything internally, and then you still just have a shell of pulpy bits.
I kind of want to see that more than what we actually saw. Like,
just like the skin sac collapsing would have been perfect.
I have a couple other things, but they do lead me into some behind the scenes. So why don't you just give a couple of things that you wanted to say?
I had to thank Aaron as well for Butcher, Huey and his dad. They're all played by people that play people in Star Trek as well. So it's like, as Boimler chats with Scotty, McCoy decides to trek this gun all the way out to this counter. And I was like, I kind of paused it and did the math, and I was like, oh yeah, they're all from different iterations of Star Trek. That's amazing.
Well, two of them are the same iteration.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah. Simon Pegg and Carl Urban will be in the same one. But it's so great. That's such a great observation. That's always going to tickle me. I'd like to think I would have made the same joke, I hope. I love that any take on this type of sin always gets me. So the lead-in is, you're just the fish guy. And the sin is, that's marine biologist. It's so great. But because you've stuck the ist on the end of it, that also works as one of our sins. It's so great. So good. And there's a really subtle joke where the lead-in was, boy, they're blowing so much smoke up Maeve's arse, it's a miracle she doesn't die of lung cancer. And then they just start sinning the senator not understanding biology. And then, well, clearly politicians are the experts on how the woman's body works.
That was one of them that I wrote down too. This is one of the ones leading into a BTS fact. Mm. But yeah, it's colon cancer seems more likely, but sure, senator, the rectum leads to the lungs. Amazing. But then, like, the second part of that sin, this is all one sin, is followed by, some politicians are clearly the exception on how women's bodies work. Amazing. Mm-hmm. My behind the scenes fact is, I asked Aaron, was there concern on whether or not to publish that comment? All I got was no. So
no, because it's right. There isn't a better time to put that joke out there than now. And sadly, it isn't a joke.
I have one more sin that doesn't lead to a Beyond the Sins thing, but it's just, you're setting yourself up for 14 teams in the Big Ten situation, and there's nothing you can do about it now with the building having a 7 carved into it. And that's amazing, especially somebody that lives in a Big Ten city, because it's never made any sense to me, because I got into college football when I moved here.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hold on, it's the Big Ten, but there's 14 teams? Like,
it's even more confusing when you live in England. Yeah, I don't even know what sport you're talking about.
Look, I'm not the expert to ask on sports. I think Big Ten schools, it's the school, not necessarily the sport, so it'd be same football, basketball.
Okay, got it.
This will be fun. This is a perfect week for you coming on, because I asked Jonathan, I said, hey, you wrote the old Bill sin in The Boys, because calling the police old Bill.
Yep.
Curious as to what interesting research you came across, and if you consulted Ian on it. I almost said you're resident Englishman on it, but I didn't. I wanted to be specific, consulted Ian, and he said, no research other than it's a British term that's been around forever, and I thought it might be funny to throw in a Forgetting Sarah Marshall reference. I don't recall talking to Ian about it, but I might have.
Nope.
there's got to be some history here. I did a quick Google search of something about Parliament, martial law.
I honestly don't know. It's something to do with a bit of legislation, but I don't actually know the origin. I know that the bill is a TV show about the police, but I'm sure it dates back to that. But it was always a bit of a Cockney thing of, oh, the old bill are coming round. But I do not personally know the origin of that one. That's just a very, very old bit of British slang.
Is it still like a piece of British slang, or is it like one of those, like,
it's old fashioned?
Like I feel like the counterpart in America would be saying pig, but I don't feel like people call cops pigs much anymore.
No, it's not. The old bill isn't really offensive. It's just a description. It would more be like...
Pig is also definitely offensive.
Yeah, it would more be like the cops or the feds, something like that. That would be the equivalent, like the feds are coming around or...
5-0, yeah. The other thing I have that led into the keeping tabs was about the note, or it was about... If you change around the sign, the lettering on the sign, you could have it read... tease the penis
it's
nutsio.
So good. So good. Like, to get tease, penis, and nuts out of that and have so few letters left is a work of art. It's so great.
And then it's just ending it with yo is just
yo.
Especially hearing that in Aaron's voice, it just made me giggle. And then seeing the letters actually be rearranged,
it blew my mind. So... I was like, how did they do that? Like, they did a great job on editing that one together. So good.
I asked Aaron about this, and I said, did you or Jonathan write the tease the peanuts nuts yo sin? And he said, me. And I said, do you have any alts on coming up with a word combine or anything else fun like that? And also, did the editors hate you for it? And he said that you would have an answer to my first question.
Yeah, so he managed to find penis and nuts. and then, like, put the rest
according
into,
Ned
like...
Flanders, yep.
Yeah, of course, of course. Found penis and nuts, which didn't leave a lot left. So I think he put the rest into like an anagram scrambler to find out the rest, and it came out with tease de yo. Here we go, tease to penis nuts yo.
That's so amazing. Great. I was just one. So of, it feels like one of those that, like, I wonder if Aaron had like three or four different things lined up, and that was just the best one.
No, I mean, as he said, as soon as he got to penis and nuts, he was like, "Well, this is happening." Like, how perfect is it that you got all of the garden right there? Like, that's definitely what it's going to be.
So the other part to that, he said, we went through a ton of options and the editors made the choice to do the arranging on their own because they're awesome. Shout out to Maiden Network. Aaron didn't even ask for it.
They just made that.
They just rearranged the letters because they knew it would be
it's
hilarious.
So good. Even the way like the letters float around as if like a ghost is doing it, it's really well done.
It's so good. Also, just reminded me, because the way it's framed of those old Captain Underpants books, like where it would always begin with them changing the letters.
It would absolutely happen in the real world. Kids are absolutely messing with that sign.
Did you have anything else about the video?
No, I just love it. I hope we get to do more. The wordplay in this was on point, but that is not a surprise with an Aaron script. And yeah, no, I really, really, really want to see more of this show. It's that crossover between our beautifully messed up fans and the boys. It's like Rick and Morty. It's such a great, that Venn diagram of who's going to watch these videos is, the boys is right in the middle there.
Well, and it will never not be relevant, at least at the current age, where you have superhero team-up movies and it's seemingly so many shows that are, what if superheroes were bad? Mm-hmm. You know, you got Invincible and Brightburn and Jupiter's Legacy. Winner of the week for Aaron's favorite script goes to this episode of The Boys. Sorry, I know it's not one you've written on it, but you can't have tease the penis and that's yo and not have it be my favorite. And
it's,
as
very,
we mentioned,
very
the politicians telling people what to do with their bodies. Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an honor that we get to do both stupid and heartfelt in the same video.
Sometimes in the same sin. So then it leads us to Thursday's video, Death on the Nile. Let me hear it. What do you think about this?
Man, this movie's dumb. So dumb. Stupid dumb. I love Kenneth Branagh. I love his Poirot. I love his delivery. I will watch, if they make a third Poirot movie with him and I know going in that it's worse than Death on the Nile, I'll still watch it, probably multiple times, because I really enjoy being with him. It's so much fun. But this movie, man, it takes an hour to murder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes an hour to Death on the Nile. It
and my understanding
so
of the
long.
Book is he shows up after the murder happens.
And it feels like that's what they were supposed to do, because they handcuffed themselves at the end of Murder on the Orient Express, because your man comes up and says, hey, there's been a murder in Egypt. But we open this movie with, hey, well done for solving that murder in Egypt. So that's why I loved that scene, was like, wait, so he just solved a death on the Nile and now he's going to solve the death on the Nile. So that last death was just some random death that happened? Like, what is going on the Nile?
I don't know if they said death at the end of Murder on the Orient Express,
no, they
but it
did.
Was definitely, there's a situation in Egypt. They said
they
death?
Said
okay.
that somebody's been murdered in Egypt and it's on the Nile. Like, they spell out what the sequel is going to be, but then they realize they want to do an hour of setup and build up to confuse the pants off of everybody into what is the most obvious reveal. Like, there was no, it was never going to be anybody else other than Armie Hammer and the other person. I can't remember her name. And I love this so much because when Chris came in to... So it's me and Jonathan that wrote this.
Yes.
Chris came in to review. And when Chris jumped in, that's when, like, this huge debate started between all of us about when could Poirot have actually solved this mystery? And it's like, he could have solved it 5 minutes after it happened. Like, he is the reason more people died. He had all the evidence he needed. He didn't need to investigate Book. He didn't need to get Book dead. He, as soon as he saw the paint was missing and that rag washed up, which showed that stain on it and that it had a bullet hole in it, that's all of the evidence he reveals at the end that gets him to who died. So we send that in about four different places in different ways and then combined and reduced it into something that was a bit more succinct towards the end, because the tricky thing with sending murder mysteries is you know how it ends because you have to watch the movie. So you don't want to send it too much based on the future knowledge that we have. Is it being internally consistent? So we couldn't really do the, hey, you could have figured this out earlier until the movie's admitted that this is the evidence that he's gathered and that he's showing.
Because the idea is this is the narrator's first view, right?
To be fair to the movie, I think that's pretty much how you have to do it, unless you're doing a tongue-in-cheek joke about, oh, I guess the movie wouldn't do this. There's still, it's a very pretty movie, but it's like the Egyptian tourist board for 1930 made it. Like, it is all about Egypt and all about sightseeing and takes so long to get to the murder.
But then the problem is, as the Sin points out, is that it, because of COVID restrictions or whatnot, like the film hasn't actually shot in Egypt. And then there's that fake shot of an alligator that's just like, it's so clearly faked and just reminds you that everything in this movie is fake.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, I didn't need like your metaphor, Death on the Nile, with that crocodile and the bird. I didn't need it. It was, I got it. I get the picture. I did not need your terrible CGI crocodile. But Jonathan summed up with a really like neat sim when he said, sadly, we're still 30 minutes away from a mystery, and considering how easy it is to solve, we might be an entire movie away. And it's just so great. It's like, yep, there's no actual murder mystery here. It's pretty much the easiest thing to solve.
It's not just that, but they tease the murder like at least three different occasions, which you sin every time, because there's the whole like snake jumping at her, and then the sin is, why is this something to show off as a feat of Poirot?
So strange. Like, physical prowess was not one of his things. It's strange.
And then there's the whole, like, the boulder, like, almost falling on Gal Gadot. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's...
The champagne cork with the gunshot. And I was like, that is 100% a gunshot.
But then there's this scene is just like, 30 people die a year from champagne cork accidents. It would be much easier to just kill her with a champagne cork and call it an accident, and everybody would have been like, fine.
I love that so much. You just had to accidentally aim it that way. And I'm like, you have witnesses as well that will confirm that it's an accident. Like, your mystery was right there.
How fun is your job that essentially writing the script was essentially trying to figure out how to do murder better?
It did make me think. I was like, man, this Google and then this text is going to really get me into some trouble. If anybody I know accidentally dies from a champagne bottle opening, like, I'm in trouble. There's some subtlety that's missing from this movie with the amount of lineups that it does. So Book does the introductions of all of the suspects before they're suspects, describing them, like, not who they are, where they come from, but why they would want to kill her. And I'm like, what do you know that we don't, Book? Like, why are you assuming that she's going to be dead? Like, and then just the lineup when they get onto the boat, just going person to person to person. I was like, we get it. Somebody's going to die, and these are the people you want us to think did it. In both of those occasions, neither of the actual murderers are in there. It's just, you don't have to have the big twist, the big aha reveal at the end to be an enjoyable journey. But in a murder mystery, kind of helps. Kind of elevates it a bit if you can pull that off as well.
Okay, so I kind of like this movie.
That's fine.
And here's why. I don't see this movie as a murder mystery movie. I see this movie...
Correct, it's not.
Because there's no mystery and there's no murder for two-thirds of it. I don't see this movie as a murder mystery movie. It's a love movie with a murder mystery backdrop, but specifically it's a cautionary tale of dangerous kinds of love or falling in love with the wrong people. And so I think in that regard, I really like this movie. As a movie itself, as a murder mystery, as anything along those lines, it's just, it's bad. there's the subplot about the two old ladies that are together, and then how taboo is that? And then there's the whole like Book's mother wanting Poirot to spy on them, and there's the relationship with
Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French is like Poirot's a dick. Like there is no way he thinks they did it. Like none of the evidence actually really points to them. All he's done is uncover that they're a couple and then broadcast it to the entire ship. And it has nothing to do with them. It's like, yeah, pat on the back, mate. Well done. You've managed to solve the mystery of the people in love, but you didn't have to tell the world about it.
That's such a good point.
It has nothing to do with the murder.
That's such a good point. As confirmed in the YouTube comments, like the fact that Poirot has a mustache to cover up a scar, like he would still have a scar in his mustache. Like that's not how mustaches work.
No, I was always hesitant on sending that because anything to do with like physical appearance, I tried to stay away from. But yeah, Jonathan wrote that in a way that was like, no, that's absolutely right. That is just biologically correct. I don't know how fantastic your follicles are around the scar. I doubt you can craft the moustache that you think he's crafting. And that's the other like most annoying thing about this movie is the 7-minute intro to Poirot's moustache. Like, it's not even how he became a detective. I don't care that he has a moustache. I didn't need its origin story. This tells me nothing about Poirot at all, other than he's a genius, which we already know.
Tells you that he has a moustache,
which I already knew.
Tells you why he has a mustache, which frankly doesn't matter. The two that I specifically thought stood out, I started writing less since this was the last video I saw, and is just like, oh, this could be a 3-hour-long podcast if I write down anything I love. Sir, I would not brag about that third time if she only remembers the first two.
I mean, it's one of those things I can't believe the movie didn't make the joke. Like, I was waiting for Book to come in and just say, yeah, don't brag about that. And I was like, no one. No one's going to... Okay, I guess I'll make the joke then.
And then, like, the army kid was just like, I would never kill her. And then the sin is, except for that time where you pushed a boulder onto her. Like,
and again,
the time where you literally committed attempted murder.
Yep, it's just bizarre. And A, there's no reason for him to admit to doing that because there is no proof other than Poirot guilted him into admitting it. Nobody saw him do it. He didn't have to admit that. And also, it still has nothing to do with the murder because Poirot knows he didn't do it. And the shift at the end where everyone's getting off the boat and he's like, I suppose you'll report me to the authorities. And Poirot's like, nah, you're fine. I was like, what happened to Poirot at the end of Murder on the Orient Express where he's just like, you're all going to prison and you'll have to shoot me otherwise. Where's that Poirot? Like, I want militant Poirot back.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to ask earlier, is this one of those that had been in the canon for a while or is this one that was scheduled? This movie came out in February and so like it just doesn't necessarily feel... The thing I can think of is either if you want to go with the release of See How They Run this week, or, and there's really no way to predict this, but with the trailer reveal for Glass Onion, like both of those feel like good ways to kind of introduce this.
No way to know that the Glass Onion trailer was coming out, so I'm
it's
pretty
just
sure.
Just convenient.
Just really, really convenient for us, but I'm pretty sure it lined up with See How They Run. When I first saw it on the schedule, I was like, oh, that's because Bullet Train is coming out. And I was like, wait, no, this is on a boat, not a train. Wait. Wait a minute.
Train, boat, same thing.
That's the same thing, it's fine.
A boat is a train on water.
Exactly.
So that makes sense to see how they run release. And again, the Glass Onion thing happens to... Okay. I just didn't know if this was really one of those that was kind of like in the pipeline and you were like, well, let's go for it.
It was always due to come out this week. It may have wiggled a little bit, but it was always around this time. But we've had it in the can for... 3 months, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of the first ones I wrote when I got back to England in May or June. So yeah, we've had this in the bag for a little while. But sometimes that happens when we know there's a date for it. It's like, let's get that locked in so it's ready to go.
Well, and get it done now before, you know, especially if it was maybe scheduled to come out later. Like, I'm sure you want to get ahead so you can have some time around Christmas and Thanksgiving off. Like,
it's always ideal, especially if we can give the editors some time off around Thanksgiving and Christmas as well. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other things you wanted to note from the video you wrote on it?
So, I mean, in terms of the sins, I always like the sins that have like a lot of alliteration. So yep. I enjoyed coming this fall. Follow the formulative follicular follies of the world's foremost lip foliage in Poirot's moustache roots. I didn't ask Jeremy to do like any Belgian accent delivery on that, but he did, and I loved it. That was great. His delivery was also great on Poirot would solve all the murders at CinemaSins. And you might ask how many murders happened at CinemaSins HQ, and I would say more than you would. Argh! That was, I think that was a combination of me and Jonathan that put that together between us. Yeah, it's so, so fun. I think that's, yeah, that was the main things that I had. Yeah, I've ranted about this movie plenty. And I wrote an obscene amount for this Sins video, as in like the overall Sins in my script. Like I wrote so, so much. There's, I think like 25-30% of it didn't make it into the video because I just wrote too much.
The only other thing I have is this is where I have a comment from the comment section.
I have one of those too.
Oh, cool. I just put, because of the sin that you just talked about the murders at CinemaSins HQ, Lucian Divine said, it is with great sadness that we have to say goodbye to Jeremy. He died doing what he loved, sitting movies, and I like to think that's how we would have wanted to go.
just a little sad goodbye to the narrator.
He's coming back.
Yeah, he's back in the next sin.
The next sin.
It's fine. There were no actual murders at CinemaSins HQ. There were accidents with like champagne bottles, but no murders. my favorite comment from this video was, CinemaSins is how I watch movies without paying or waiting 2 hours. I was like, this is a terrible way to consume movies. Please do not consume movies from our videos. I'm glad we're saving you time, but this is terrible. There was one more note that I had. I just remember, and I'm sure Jonathan won't mind me sharing this, he says. But it was one of those occasions where I had to explain edging to Jonathan. And it's one of my new favorite things. Because the lead-in is that Gal Gadot and Armie Hammer are making out on like the edge of the pyramid. And the sin is, man, the 1930s version of edging is way more literal than I would have expected. And I just got a little note from Jonathan saying, I assume this is a sexual thing, but what does edging mean? And I was like, Google it. I dare you. I dare you to Google it. I was like, no, I won't. I will not Google it. But yes, it is a sexual thing. Trust me, this joke is funny.
I love that last week I had Jonathan on to ask, how does your daughter feel about your writing? And it's like, oh, like today Ian had to explain edging to me and I got paid.
Yep. That was my day at work, honey. How was yours? It's fun. It's fun stuff.
Nice.
There are plenty of times I've had, like, there's an American bit of slang in the script. And I was like, I'm sure this is funny. Could you tell the Brit what it means?
Google it.
Yep.
Just Google safe search.
Yep. Google safe search edging.
All right. So that just leaves commercial sins. Flamin' Hot Doritos, Push It. Danae wrote on this one.
Yeah, push it.
I had a lot on this one because I loved this video.
Do it. Love on it.
The alligator likely ate the bird as an appetizer directly after this, but at least it was considerate of the bird's final moments.
I love that. You're going to die in a minute, but open up and listen.
And then the narrator threatens to add 1,000 sins if she takes a selfie because this is the exact kind of thing that they would do. But then the next sin is, this is amazing that this is happening. 1,000 sins if you don't take a selfie. So threatening to do the same thing.
I love the polar opposite. You're tying the hands of the commercial. I was like, you're getting 1,000 sins. It's up to you how you get them. It's such a beautiful back-to-back on that joke.
If you would take a selfie 4 seconds earlier, 1,000 sins.
Yep.
Take a selfie now, negative 1,000 sins.
It's so good.
Yeah. And then unleash your flaming hot. What the fuck does that mean? Because what the fuck does that mean?
What does that mean?
Tagline. It's whoever's in marketing and came up with that needs to be fired.
Or just have a stern talking to. Just like, use your brain a bit more.
Sending the fine text that says don't feed the animals when the whole commercial is about feeding animals and this amazing experience happened.
It's amazing. Like, it's one of my favorite points in the video because it's way deeper than you think it is, because it's actually sinning the dumb things that commercials tell us not to do. So it's like, do not feed the animals. I was like, well, duh. Like, you think? Like, is that really going to cover you legally? Because then why aren't you telling me to not climb a tree? Or like, why aren't you telling me to not interact with a bear? why aren't you telling me to not run away from that deadly sloth that can run 20 miles an hour? Like, there's so much shit in this video you should warn me to not do. Why did you pick don't feed the animals?
Well, and if your stance is don't feed the animals, why did you just show me 2 minutes of people feeding the animals and only good things happening?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, use this as a cautionary tale. Like, I don't know.
She just gets eaten at the end. That's the way to solve this video.
I mean, yeah, either that or she eats all the animals. Like, someone's winning. Like, somebody isn't making it out of this commercial alive.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last one I wrote is, if you ever see animals like this, run, because they're, like, all happy and they take the back. Run. Something is very, very wrong, and you need to reconcile your dark secrets and last wishes before the world ends. Amazing.
It's so great. It's so, so good. Look, Danae's brain is incredible, and, like, she just manages to craft abstract, insanely intricate stories from the smallest bits of content. And that's why her commercials are so fun to watch, because remember the emu at the gym one? I can't remember what it was advertising, but it's the emu in health insurance of some sort. Yeah,
Liberty Mutual.
Yeah, that's it.
Because it's the Limu Emu.
That's the, of course it is, of course. Just the story she crafts with that, it's just, you go on a little adventure and she's like, just hold my hand, I'm going to take you on this journey as we come up with this incredible what-if scenario. And there is nothing quite like Danae's imagination when you get to sinning. It's so, so much fun. Yeah, such a good little snippet into her terrifying brain.
I don't have any keeping tabs, anything like this. I do have a comment section on this video, but I want to wait unless you have other thoughts on the video itself.
Yeah, though. I mean, I think between us, we'll probably just read all of the sins because it's such a great, great video. You know, there's no reality where a variety of animals converge over fallen flame and fodder on the forest floor to feast without friction. Alliteration, it kills me. It's great. Her mind is incredible. It's unique.
This feels like the perfect video for Danae to sin, because just all the content going on and how angry Danae can get, but the way she can think and
it's great. I love hearing Chris channel Danae's outrage. It's the best.
My comment section is kind of related. It's not actually it's just about commercial sins, but in the Discord channel, which you can join by following the link in the episode description.
Yeah, you can.
If you want to talk about the podcast with a community, Lollipop Shoes.
Lolly, woo!
Lolly says, if writers are rotated for commercial sins, does that mean there's a possibility of a UK ad when it's Ian's turn and she tagged you? Cough, cough, folder or scruncher, cough, cough.
So I have a list of UK commercials that I would like to do. I can absolutely do them. However, I'm a numbers guy. And statistically, the commercials that do best are the ones that are very American and have themselves a lot of views as well. So I've been running through the Old Spice commercials at the minute because I love them to death. And they're some of the most watched commercials on YouTube. So I'm just like, yeah, let's go after them. Let's do it. The UK, I just don't know if the UK commercials are going to have enough pull to make it onto the channel, but I'm definitely, once I've gone through Old Spice, I'm definitely going to do some of my favorite English channels. So yeah, tweet at us any UK commercials that you want us to cover, and I'll add it to my list. But it's a tricky balance.
This ad also reminded me of there, and I was really hoping Commercial Sins doesn't do outtakes, but if I were to write an outtake, so I guess here's another like segment of Aaron writes a sin that, you know, nice. Only gets revealed on this podcast, because there's an old, back when Family Guy was good, they had some good stuff there. And in one of the first seasons, there's this cutaway gag of these two guys that get in a car accident, but one of them is enjoying chocolate and one of them is enjoying peanut butter. And then they go through the window, and then the officer comes up and says, "Hi, I'm Officer Reese's. What is the problem?" "He got peanut butter in my chocolate." And then the officer shoots them both and runs away. So
that's a clever gag. That's perfect for this ad.
Given that this is the mending of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and Cool Ranch Doritos, I would have loved
it. Works
to just,
on a
I would have loved to put
few different in. Levels. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, there you go. So if Aaron were a staff member, that's what he would have done.
Amazing.
Now we no longer have to wonder.
Now we know.
Well, I think that should cover everything, which means we're done with the content for this week, which means we just move into Beyond the Sinner, right?
Woo, let's do it.
So tell me about yourself.
We're all sinners. Every one of us.
And what happens to sinners?
Get to know each other better, you know?
See, Daddy, sinners have soul too.
The information, it's too much.
Walk away, March. Just walk away.
Okay, so we decided to move this back from the top of the show to the bottom of the show. That way we really get this inside scoop right away. And so, Ian, I'm going to ask you, first of all, the same questions I asked Jonathan last week. If you had to describe CinemaSins to somebody who had never heard of the channel, how would you do it in one sentence or two?
Well, I have a 14-page thesis that I'd like to share with you now, so nope. Buckle in, everybody. This is a great time to move to 2.5 speed.
No, you can PDF it to the Discord, but...
Yes, amazing. No, like, CinemaSins, without getting too cheesy and sentimental, it is, for me, just this awesome community of fans and people that are passionate about movies and content in general, and just enjoy making and watching these tongue-in-cheek videos that send up the content that we all enjoy. Like, we all see these things in movies, we all roll our eyes, we all enjoy them regardless. It's just really, really fun to point them out, and hopefully the videos will make you think. I hope they definitely make you laugh, and really, they're just an excuse for me to put as many Star Trek references out there as I possibly can. That's, if I'm going to sum up CinemaSins, that's what it is for me. But like I said earlier, I love that the majority, so many comments are just filled with, I love this movie, I'm so glad you're seeing it. And I'm like, you're insane and I love you, that's great. Like, ruin the thing I love, do it.
So then you're celebrating, this is pretty close to about a year of being on staff full-time, right?
Yeah, so October the 8th was when I was officially full-time. I was kind of part-time contractor for 6 months before that. Yeah, 6 months. So yeah, coming up to a year of being full-time doing this. It's an insane, insane ride. And I'm, yeah, super-duper grateful for, yeah, the awesome people I work with and just the crazy job I get to do every day. It's so much fun.
Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
But I mostly bring that up because the channel is coming up on its 10-year anniversary, which means you were not around for 8.5 years of it in any professional capacity. So surely you have to have some favorite sins that have ever been published on the channel and or a favorite running gag or two.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I love alliteration, and there's a few more examples that are some of my favorites. Cloud Atlas has a great one, which was, it opens up with Tom Hanks just staring at a campfire, just talking to himself, and it's Haggard Hanks harks haphazardly, hoping humanity heeds his hyperbole, which is like, when you can do that without a single non-H word, like, and make it a sentence that makes sense, that's so much fun.
Oh, it's a night. And Babbitt's ballin' wind bind a bone.
Haggard Hanks harks haphazardly, hoping humanity heeds his hyperbole.
And these ones aren't always this is a great thing to say, isn't it? These ones aren't always the funniest, but it's the ones where there's a good amount of research that's gone into them. So there's a video that's coming up that there is some racing involved, and they are not in the location that they say they are. And we found this out by looking at monuments and street names. So it was like, we're going to Google Lens the monuments and we're going to type in the street names and then try and triangulate where they actually are. And it was like, oh, you're in Georgia. Like, you're not where you say you are at all. And it's so obvious because that monument isn't where you said it was. So there's just, it's those thinkers where it's just like, man, you did some research on that for this 1 second gag that, and then just bam, move on to the next sin. And we pack so many jokes into the videos, like every single second needs a laugh, basically. So to get the factual stuff in there that's funny as well is so much fun for me. But yeah, I mean, all of the running jokes we have, I really, really like. They survive this, won't be needing this anymore. There's just this awesome balance of bread and butter stuff that we do a lot and then new actual thinky talking points.
For sure.
Oh, I've got another one if you like. I'll just chuck in another one.
Do it.
There's one from Loki, which does the setup and then turns it into just a super complicated way of saying it. So Loki gets thrown out of the window. So the narrator starts by saying, the sin here is being thrown through a train window before your intended stop after drinking too much alcohol, or predestination station defenestration post-intoxication, if you will. I was like, yep, there's a thing for that. We now have there's a condition for being thrown out of a window after being drunk.
Being thrown through a train window before your intended stop after drinking too much alcohol, or predestination station defenestration post-intoxication, if you will.
So the other part of this segment is I wanted to get a chance to get to talk to you about something non-pop culture related. So as a you're kind of more of a hybrid UK and US at the moment, but
I spend a lot of time over here now. Wait, I didn't get to tell this story because obviously we haven't had BTS for a week, but I got stopped at customs and hijacked because I have been visiting the country too much. Now, to come into America, you need something called an ESTA. It's an electronic something. But instead of applying for a visa, you can apply for this document and you don't have to have a visa. You can just come over here and you can come over here for 90 days at a time and then you have to go back. The problem is the coming back after that, because it doesn't specify how long to stay away. In all of my research, it just says use your best judgment. And I'm like, what?
That's
that's needlessly vague.
Disconcerting. So concerning. It's concerning.
Concerning, yeah. It's like, my best judgment is a week because I like being here, but that's probably not what your judgment is. So, yeah, they took me to one side and was just like, we need you to explain what you're doing here. And I was like, well, I'm visiting friends. And I'm like, well, what do you do for work that allows you to do this? And I was like, oh, I'm a writer. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what do you write? I was like, I write about movies. For who? I was like, for YouTube. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Like, yeah, I write for movies on YouTube. And then they just let me through. And I'm like, so what did I need to say to get withheld longer? Like, that was pretty sketchy.
Because that doesn't necessarily involve, you could do that job remotely.
100%. And I think that's essentially why they let me in, is because I haven't...
This is too stupid to make up.
I've never overstayed my welcome. Yeah, it's too... I'm too honest. I haven't overstayed my welcome once. I've always stuck to the terms. It doesn't specifically say I can't do this, but yeah, they were making so many notes on my passport, and I was like, oh no. They're making way more notes than the things I'm saying.
So what are you doing here? There was a champagne accident over in the UK. And yeah. That's why I'm coming back.
You may have seen that the Queen died recently. I had to leave the country.
I thought about making that joke, but I thought, I can't, you can't.
No, yeah, that's fair. It's like, yeah, you can, I can bully my brother, but you're not allowed to.
yes, very much.
That's amazing.
Fun custom story. What are some other things? We already talked about like different portion sizes. What are some things that you have thought are really weird or strange about American society? And what are some things that you kind of miss about UK that you would just like Americans to experience?
So language and slang is definitely the biggest thing that I come up with day to day, where it's so different. And it's not like offensively different, it's just sometimes confusing. And one of the big ones, which is difficult because I love this place so much, is how I say tacos. And yep, I like Taco Bell quite a lot. And we don't really have Taco Bell in England. But I apparently can't say taco properly. So I was like, what is it, taco? Is it taco? Taco?
Yeah, you say it like the way that people say Walmart and Target. Like you say it like people that are like deliberately like Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
Like, what am I don't, I honestly don't know what. So I can't order tacos at Taco Bell. I'm like, luckily I love burritos, but every time I go up to the drive-thru, it's like, I'll have two tacos, please, and just try and get through it as quickly as possible. And I'm sure the drive-thru people just by default say, excuse me, what was that? Like, even if they think they heard me, because there's an accent on it, they're just like, no, you're going to have to repeat that again because I want to hear your voice. So just give me my tacos. It's one of my most favorite things, but actually day-to-day it can become a bit of a bother as well.
Sure.
But one of my favorite things when we're doing scripts is getting asked, like, is this offensive, like, in England? Like, can I say this? So I think Aaron
You can't say it.
That's exactly it. Aaron said, is saying limey offensive? And I was like, for me, no, I don't think so. I know it's like, it is a slang term for somebody from England, and I think it's one that the Australians use more. But yeah, I don't think I find any offense with that. But there's also like some fact checking that goes on. So Daniel asked me about, I think Charity Canvassers was in the Rick Lantis mix-up. Yeah, the scene was Charity Canvassers, and then he seen that they're called Charity Muggers in the UK, and he was like, is that true? Is that actually a thing? And I was like, yeah, the ones that like hang around shops and try to get you to sign up for things, we call them Charity Muggers.
Huh.
And he was just like, that's weird. Like, happy to oblige, sir.
Yeah. Interesting, okay.
But one of the, there's two that really, really blew my mind. And one of the, actually, this one blew my mind and the next one blew Aaron Dice's mind. The one that blew my mind was drive-through banks.
Oh.
It's like, what? Like, Aaron said, like, we need to go to the bank and he was making a deposit or something. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I need to change. The people in England only gave me $100 bills. I need to change some of these into something I can use. And we just drove. And I was just like getting the seatbelt off. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, well, we've got to go into the bank. And I was like, where's the front door? And he just like pulled up to the window and started talking to the lady. And I'm like, what are we doing? I was like, it's a drive-through. I was like, does America have to drive through everything?
Yes,
like,
we do. Yes. The concept of stick your cash in a vacuum and somebody will get it on the other side. Like,
exactly. Trust it'll be okay. Like, it baffled me. And it's just the whole, like, kind of hit and run sort of element to it. I was like, why would you ever need to be in that much of a hurry to get to the bank? Like, that you need to use the drive through?
We're not. We're just lazy.
It makes sense, but it's just something we don't have in England.
What's wild is the one closest to the window has a bigger box, so you can do more in it. You might drive by and overhear people like legitimately making like big savings transactions, like in their car through a window. Like,
it's crazy. It's like, I just kind of want a suit and tie sort of thing to my banking. I don't know. Yeah.
I get a lot of cash as my payment at the moment, and so I go into the bank with cash because, again, that whole, like, stick a bunch of cash in a vacuum and hope it works out. Like,
yeah, I'm just like, I want you
like,
to count
I know, it. Like, this is a tried-and-true system, but...
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I can get out and walk five steps, so...
Yeah, uh-huh. I would do the same.
I think I know the one that blew Aaron Dicer's mind.
Uh-huh, go on.
Lemonade.
Yeah, it is. And it was so strange because it's something I've known... So my first trip to America was... when I was 21, I remember just like, oh, lemonade, this is so great. It's not fizzy. It's incredible. So I've always known the difference. So when I came back here and I was just enjoying some lemonade, and I said, I really, really miss this when I'm in England. And he went, oh, do you not have it? And I said, no, 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 we have lemonade, but it's fizzy. And he went, what? What do you mean you have lemonade, but it's fizzy? I was like, yeah, no, no, what we call lemonade is like 7-Up or Sprite. It's like a carbonated soda lemonade. Like, I don't have another word for it. So if you ask for a lemonade, you're gonna get a Sprite or a 7-Up, something like that. And it blew his mind. It was like, so what do you do with actual lemonade then? We just don't have it. And it's just something you can go your whole life not needing to know, not knowing. And part of me like wishes I'd waited until like he came to England and I'm like, order a lemonade, I dare you. And just like see the horror on his face when he's like, well, this is a 7-Up.
Oh man, it's crazy.
It's wild. There's no lemonade. No lemonade in England. Not as you guys know it.
Well, I mean, all the drinks are different because the FDA doesn't care about whether we live to 40 or not.
Sugar.
Yeah. Which, as an American, it's so bad traveling to the UK because you're like, I want a Coke. And then what you get is kind of Coke. It's significantly less Coke than you want.
It's also like quantity-wise significantly less Coke.
Right. It's like 750 milliliters or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And the measurements are all off because the imperial system.
We're sticking by it.
As you should. We're the ones that need to change. Because the rest of the world has. Is there anything that you like wish that Americans got to experience that is commonplace in the UK?
Honestly, chip shops. Fish and chips. Like, what I love here is the convenience of drive-thrus and the variety. So we basically have McDonald's, sometimes a KFC will have a drive-thru, Burger King will have a drive-thru, but our variety of drive-throughs is so limited, but we tend to do a lot more home cooking as a general rule. But one thing,
well, and there's less people driving cars depending on the city size. It's a lot a lot more bus and train transit.
And we do have kind of more consistent public transport because we're smaller. We're a smaller island. Everything is a little bit closer together. But chip shops are a gift. There is no equivalent food group over here, and by chips I mean fries, but they're thicker, fluffy, they're incredible. The battered fish is so good. I would miss that. If I ever moved to America, I would deeply miss the fish and chip shop and a nice kebab, which is different. Like, again, you guys don't have kebabs over here as well. I would miss
we
that
have
so,
different.
So much. Yeah, you have and kebabs, but it's like lemonade. Totally different. That's the first meal I would take anybody to go and have is a good fish and chips.
I spent a week in Edinburgh year. I went to a chippy, and we went to several. But one night I was feeling frisky and American, so I ordered a deep fried Mars bar.
Oh heck yeah, chippy. That's a thing.
Which is fine. The problem is, they are frying them in the same oil that they've been frying fish for the entire day.
Absolutely.
So you have a deep fried Mars bar that also tastes like fish, which is not as gross as it sounds, but it's also not
incredible.
Good.
Oh, it sounds incredible to me. The problem I have is that they get nuclear. Like, the Mars bar inside the batter is hotter than the sun. It's ridiculous. But when that chip shop first came out with the deep fried Mars bar, it made national news. I think I was 13 or 14 when they first decided we're going to do this, and it was it swept the nation. It was hilarious, and it just became a gimmick.
And what's crazy is if you go to the state fair, everything is deep fried.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure you could just walk up to anybody and be like, "Will you put this in the fryer?" And they'll be like, "Sure, 100%. Why not?"
Yeah, why not? What are you going to do? Wrap it in batter, fry it, do it.
Very nice. That was a lot of fun. We just have one more segment to cover. We just got to do a quick recommend, warn, or recommend with some Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Ian, what is that thing you got?
So, you're going to love this, and I think we could probably talk for an hour and a half about it. It is The Rehearsal.
Oh, okay. I've seen the pilot, and that's been it.
First of all, what you need to do before you watch The Rehearsal is binge watch 4 seasons of Nathan For You. Nathan Fielder is, as Aaron Dicer has said, either a genius or a maniac, one of the two. And I don't know which one it is.
I said genius or sociopath.
Sociopath. It's one of the two, maybe both. Nathan For You, he basically tries to help small businesses with wacky ideas. And so it'll be like, we'll give you gas for like 50 cents a litre. However, the only way you get that money back is through a rebate. And to claim the rebate, you have to climb a mountain and then put it in this box. And it works. Like, it absolutely works. Like, people come in, they pay full price for the fuel, and then they have to fill in this form for the rebate. And nobody, like, there's only 3 people that go and have the rebate. So he just does maniacal things like that. But The Rehearsal is just incredible. The premise is that you've got an important moment in your life, like you want to share some news, you want to rehearse something that's very, very important. Nathan creates the environment for you to practice that using actors, different permutations, and you can rehearse this important moment as many times as you like until you're ready for every possible outcome that you could conceivably predict. And then you're prepared for the answers, whether it's a good reaction, bad reaction, no reaction, you're prepared for it. The show spirals into something completely different that is still exactly what I think he intended to happen. It's so clever. It says so much about society, expectations, what we think certain things in our life are going to be like, how you can't prepare for every eventuality, but it is built into us to want to do that, and how valuable that is and futile at the same time. And just in this largely 99% non-judgmental way, where the great thing about Nathan Fielder is that he doesn't really pass judgment. If somebody says something completely wackadoodle, he'll just be like, okay, oh, I thought this was the case. Oh, okay. And just lets the person dig their own hole of ridiculousness. And he's just like, huh, interesting. It's high, super duper high recommend. And I cannot wait to see whatever he does next. He's so, so good.
It's the rehearsal season 2 is what he's doing next.
For real?
It's been renewed.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
I mean, maybe not next, but it's definitely been renewed.
Oh, let's go. Yes.
Which is funny because it was renewed like 2 days after Batgirl was cancelled. So everybody's like, okay, what's going on?
Oh, okay.
Like,
no, that sucks. Yeah, losing one thing does not mean we shouldn't enjoy another. But yeah, I see what you mean.
So I have a recommend, a big recommend, because I went to the movies this week and I saw Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And I can't stop thinking about how much I love this movie. Have you seen this one?
Oh, that's great. I haven't. So I watched the trailer because I'm a dick and I watch trailers and it put me off. I was like, I felt like from the trailer, I know what you're going for here. It's not for me. And to my discredit, I shouldn't do that, to be completely honest, because the reviews are incredible. Aaron and yourself have now both said they love it. So I'm gonna have to watch this movie.
Aaron Dicer is the perfect person to want to talk about this movie as soon as you see it. It's got one of those brilliant final moments where you're like, I need to speak to somebody about it now. And that's been burning inside me for a week.
Amazing.
Because the trailer portrays it as here's a new teen slasher, Ready or Not style, kind of
meta.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a game that people play and all of a sudden somebody's actually killing somebody instead of playing a game. Mm-hmm. The trailer presents this, I'll say this and I'll shut up. The trailer presents this as a celebration of Generation Z, when in actuality it's a critique of Generation Z.
Interesting. Okay.
So, because the trailer looks like, oh, Project X or...
Oh, 100%. That's what put me off. Yeah.
No, it is absolutely, by the time the movie ends, it is a full-on critique. I can't wait to watch this movie again, and I can't wait. Like, I'm just dying to talk with people about it. So, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies in theaters right now. It'll be out sometime, I think, awesome. Next month.
Yeah, love it. I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, and then talk to Dicer about it. Well, that'll do it for this week. Thanks again to Ian for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I look forward to doing it again.
Heck yeah.
Ian, do you want to promote any social medias, anything like that for people to connect with you?
Yeah, come find me on Twitter. That's mainly where I'm sort of active, at Whitsinned, WHITTSINNED. And go and have a listen to Captain's Pod if Star Trek is your thing, or if it isn't your thing, because we have plenty of people that enjoy the show and have never watched it before. So at the minute, we're going through season 3 of Lower Decks. We are Instapodding it as each episode lands. We are live on Twitch on Mondays at 12 Central. So it gives you the weekend to watch the episode, and then we'll do a big old spoiler discussion and then basically do the podcast live. Woohoo!
Live podcast, everybody, not just patrons too. Good job.
Yeah. Applause. Woo! Yeah.
And you can follow me if you want on Twitter or Letterboxd at Schweitcastle. I'd love to hear your feedback on how the show is going as well. So if you have that, you can send that to bts@cinemasins.com. So I'd love to hear your feedback on how you think the show's going, or if you're watching the videos through the week and you're like, there's a story behind here, I really want to know it, DM so I can ask the staff here, the wonderful staff here that are volunteering their time to hang out here. I guess not. Anyway.
Wait, what? This is volunteer?
That's better. And lastly, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're listening to. Make sure to come back next Thursday for more Behind the Sins content.
Bye!
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com and be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/bts.
Living my best life like every other white girl, you know?
I'm 90% sure I'm recording, so let's record a 90-minute show on the hope that it works.
I'm pretty confident. If you can see your lines...
Yep.
You're just having fun now?
Yep. Amazing.
I wasn't stressed out at all, and then I put together the first episode, and I was just like, people aren't going to like this.
Making money out of podcasts is tricky. I don't know if you've noticed.
As long as you can see the lines and then you're pretty confident that you're recording on your end.
Yep.
Do you have your buttons labeled or are you just pushing stuff at random?
Because I have really crappy eyes. The buttons are labeled, but I can't read them. So the answer is yes and yes. What does this do?
And then I've also got that one.
Nice. I don't have that. I have this, which is way more impressive. That's way more important. Thank you. 100%. Thank you, everyone.
I would add a CinemaSins ding. That would be fun.
I'm amazed that Aaron doesn't already have a ding on here. That would be incredible. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to do a ding and then immediately it's like, whoa, okay, no, wrong button. Let me do that joke again. You don't want... Hang on. Podcasting. Supercuts. How do they work?
I kept on making the comment. I was like, I have a theory that Aaron has gotten Ian into Malcolm McDowell. Like, not Malcolm Gladwell. Which they're joking about in Discord. And I'm like, no, I'm 100% convinced that the butler from Disney's The Haunted Mansion is also a world-renowned sociologist. Like,
but the worst thing is that Jonathan went along with it. So you're both talking about different people, but both agreeing.
When I was recording with Jonathan, he was like, you should have Ian on next week, because I remember he's on the Two CinemaSins, and he has very strong feelings on both of the things that he talked about. So
I do. I really do. Especially both of them, to be honest. I was going to pick one, but no.
We'll kick off with the Monday video, Rick and Morty 3x7.
No, I demand the old format.
See, here's the fun part. You don't have creative control anymore.
Oh, no! Wait. I did at some point? What? I don't even have my own segment anymore.
No. What is this? I could play the bumper. I'm not going to, but I could.
You just put the bumper in randomly.
It's the power I have. I could do it, but I'm not going to.
Cool trick. And
you're not that far off yourself, but...
Thank you, sir. Maybe one day I'll be up there with Dicer, but cool.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
No, let's no. I'll always be able to say regularly. I am talking out of my English bottom right now. Oh, you Americans, it's always about size.
It's got very choke me daddy kind of vibes.
I guess so. Yes, it kind of does.
Outtakes.
No context. No context, just choke me daddy.
Now you have to go find those and put them in the episode. Fun. Because I did it once, and now I have to do it every time.
Yeah, you do.
Outtakes? Probably. Or DM the CinemaSins Twitter at CinemaSinsBTS. Would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback. That made no sense. I
know. Happy something day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.